This was years ago that I decided that we should give this a go. And who do I know that does radio? Chad Roper. We'll sit here, we'll smoke a cigar, drink a beer, and we will podcast.
You're listening to the Jack Wagon Podcast.
Oh, good for you!
Featuring Chad Roper and Drew Cobb from Cool 94's Rope and Drew in the Morning.
You've got to remember that these are just simple farmers. You know, morons.
Oh. Podcast is unsuitable for small children and girly soy boys.
They whine about anything. You pull down their pants and you spank their ass.
What is these animals?
Them ones that eat snakes, huh?
Let's get it all!
Welcome to the Jack Wagon Podcast.
Podcasting's been around for about 15 years. I mean, as a thing, have really been listening to them for about 10 is really when it kind of started getting into the zeitgeist. But a couple of the people who are pioneers in there, one of my favorite human beings in the world is Kevin Smith. You know who Kevin Smith is? Jay and Silent Bob. Does that ring any bells?
He doesn't know anything pop culture. Okay.
Are you familiar, Drew, with Jay and Silent
Chasing
Bob?
Amy.
Okay. Yes.
You know Chasing Amy?
Yes.
Okay, Chasing Amy is set in a universe called the Viewisk Universe. Chasing Amy is one of about 8 films.
Dogma.
Okay? Dogma is one of the greatest films ever made.
Agreed.
Oh, yeah,
okay?
Wow.
Agreed.
So
if you weren't a police officer, we would be best friends.
We're going to have what? We'll talk about other things later too. So Kevin Smith is one of my favorite human beings in the world. He's a film director and a writer, and he wrote some of these movies that I loved when I was younger, and he was doing some podcasts, and my kid actually turned me on to some of these things, and I looked around at podcasts, and Chad was talking about us playing music together, just shooting from the hip and doing that. I don't know if he's ever mentioned to you, but Chad and I actually did a couple of episodes of a podcast in the Americana way back in the day.
What? Tell That's me about right. this, Chad. Tell me about that.
I think if I dig down, I can find our failed attempt at making a podcast. So this was years ago that I decided that if these guys are doing it, we've got radio gear. I know how to run this. I like to talk. I we don't have to do it live. We can actually talk and put this out to the entire universe. It's cheap, free, entry level's nothing. We should give this a go. And who do I know that does radio? Chad Roper. We'll sit here, we'll smoke a cigar, drink a beer, and we will podcast. Remember this?
Yes, I remember it vaguely, and I remember being stressed out because there was no plan.
Because there was no f***ing plan, and Chad Roper's got to have a plan, and he's got to practice, and he's got to rehearse, and he wants to have notes. And I'm like, dude, we're going to sit down, we're going to have a beer, and we're going to talk.
That right there. That was just what you just said is exactly where me and Chad rub the most. I'm an off the cuff guy. I can't have a script. I got to go off the moment.
I remember that. Yeah. It's all coming back to me. I remember being so stressed out.
We sat down and
you were. I couldn't even have a conversation because that's right. I said exactly that. It wasn't going to work.
So that was my first attempt.
And I ruined
doing this. And you ruined it for me.
I had a chance.
So
I ruined it.
So I had gotten together a little bit of gear and a setup, and I started listening to some shows that I really, really liked, and like the music stuff and like the police stuff and like the basketball stuff. I kind of the theme of my life is if there's something that I'm interested in, I want to inject myself into it. If there's someone who makes music that I like, I want to know them and where it comes from. I've met all of my rock star heroes. I've played music with many of them because I want to actually be involved in it.
Thank you.
Likewise with...
Thank you so much.
Right?
There it is.
So there were some shows that I liked that were topical things, and I got to know the people who were making some of these big shows, and I was doing some research for them on the side. And doing this research led me to another show because, I have access to, research is what I do for a living. And that led me to another group of fellows that were doing some podcasting, and I started helping them with their show. In doing that, I was listening to some fiction podcasts, and there are a lot of really, really bad fiction podcasts out there. There was a guy who was listening to this show that I was involved in, and I would interact with all of the fans of this show. You know, they'd send you messages and, you know, the fan mail kind of stuff, you know, just on low level, Z level celebrity shit. But I'm interacting with them and I'm doing it. We haven't really gotten into this yet, but I'm doing this under a pseudonym. I've got my separate life in the podcast universe under a different name where I'm interacting with these people. So it doesn't mix with my real world over here. So, and I had been writing
a book. So the alias happened way before you actually.
It did. It happened with some other podcasts. So
gotcha.
And in retrospect, that name, if I'd have really been planning on it turning into something, I'd have picked a better name. You know, I was just being silly and goofy one day and it kind of stuck. So
can you share it?
It's Sam Culper is the name that I was working under.
Though, because I heard about it and I think that you shared it with me, but it kind of went in and out, you know, sure. And I was like, okay, cause I've done the whole alias thing. Right. I worked as a collection agent in Midwest City. And so I picked the most Italian name I could come up with. And so I understood it. And I mean, once I got done with it, I got done with it, but it stuck and like really, you had to stick with it.
Right. Once it was
worked
there,
out.
I was stuck. So this guy's interacting with Sam.
It didn't even strike me as anything strange. I mean, Culper, I've never heard that.
So
last
Culper,
name.
The Culper ring.
Right.
The Culper ring, Chad. Come on.
When I did this.
Another thing that I don't know anything about.
Secret societies, bro.
Washington's spies, I think, is the popular television.
The
show
original,
where they discuss
the original so, CIA.
Right.
Yeah.
So before we had spies, George Washington had people who were running messages back and forth during the Revolutionary War, and they had aliases that they used. One of them was Culper Senior, and one of them was Culper Junior.
Okay? Interesting. Wow.
I just watched a documentary over
this.
Of course, I did.
So. When I first started doing that, I was being a smartass and somebody said, what's your name? So I give them the name of a spy who was Sam Culper. So that's where it came from, you know, and it's C-U-L-P-E-R and I spelled it with a K for reasons, you know, back then.
I guess you'd have given your sources away more if you had gone with some shit like Matahari or something.
Yeah, sure. There you go. Now, so this guy starts interacting with me and I had been writing a book. I've written one half of many books over the years and Attaboy. Never managed to finish them. So, and he's like, yeah, I've started writing a book too. And you know, you get these people who like to listen to your music and, oh, well, let me show you my band. You know, you get that guy all the time. So it's like, So I've written some stuff too. Would you like to read it? And I'm like, no, sure. Send it over. Trying not to be a dick, you know? So he sends it over and I'm looking at this and I was like, you know, this is okay. It's not super, but it's fine. I was like, you know, I've been listening to this fiction show and it really sucks. I could do this. So I got a hold of, and by then I had built just enough of a fan base working with this other podcast that I was like, I could parlay that fan base into a listenership of this. So I had been going to California to work on some podcasting stuff with these guys. And I called this kid and I said, man, I'm thinking that this, you know, I could force us to actually finish our book. We could write this together. But what we would do is let's take and record into a dramatic reading, like an old time radio show, this first chapter that you wrote, and we'll publish it, and then we'll do the next chapter as the next episode, and we'll make this story, and then we'll publish it as the novel once we finish it. So I called the guys that I was podcasting with out in California, and
this is really cool.
I said, hey guys,
hearing how this kind of developed,
and this is so much like the Thunder thing, because without having a plan, I called one end and said, hey, I'm going to use your stuff and I'm going to do a podcast. I've already got it worked out with this guy. We'll have an episode out here in about 2 weeks. So then I called that guy and said, hey man, we can do this show. We can have it out in 2 weeks. Will you do this with me? You know, I'm working both sides against the middle, and then had convinced everybody that we could do this and then publish it with this group, starting off with a small group of people, and force myself to have to actually come through with it. So we busted down real quick and I learned how to actually record it and edit it in and, Yeah. You know, the thing about podcasting, I know you guys said you've done this five, and you guys are radio professionals. Most people who podcast are not.
Well, we get paid to do this.
That's right, right? That's what makes you professional, right?
Yeah.
So most people who podcast, they want a million people to listen to their first podcast.
Yeah.
And what I try to tell everyone who starts a podcast is you don't want anyone to listen to your first podcast after you've made 10. You want a million people to listen to your 20th podcast and no one to ever hear your first one, because you learn how to do it after a while. And, you know, a lot of shows like this one where you talk about pop culture or your friends or your life or whatever, you can go back and listen to the most recent episode. Once I'd done 25 episodes of my show, you couldn't go listen to episode 25. You still had to go back and listen to episode 1 to find out where the characters were going.
So the name of the podcast,
Breakers. We called it Breakers Podcast.
Okay. And so does that mean that there is a book written that's called The Breakers?
There is the book that's written that is essentially every word that's read on the podcast in a novel form.
Okay.
It's
so
not
essentially
available
it's
anywhere, but it's been finished.
Okay. So it's essentially an audio book.
Right.
And you guys just broke it into, was it seven? You did seven seasons. And
there are a number of different seasons, but the thing about seasons, a lot of podcasts will have seasons. It doesn't really matter in podcast land when something is available perpetually. I think there were really four real season breaks that amounted to, I'm actually going to look here because I can't remember and I don't even want to lie. Radio pause.
Well, I know while you're looking that up, what I have to say is that to expand on your having zero experience in doing any of this stuff, and then all of a sudden it kind of happened. What I did notice in listening to the epilogue is that you have developed your voice acting thing.
Sure.
I could hear it. I was like, this is not how he speaks. I was really impressed with it. So between the times that I had spoken to you, I mean, I think I called you on the phone, not terribly long ago.
Sure.
We chatted briefly about this stuff. But I hadn't heard you on air since probably you were voicing or calling ball games for Sayer. But I heard that and I was really impressed. And it sounded like you had really done a lot of this stuff. And so not only were you doing episodes for your podcast, but you were also doing this stuff for all these other people. And so you're basically a self-taught voice actor.
Right.
Thank you.
I really appreciate that. That means a lot coming from you there. And I have, and it's interesting the way that mine is a single voice that's reading a number of different characters like a book.
And but you and are the abysmal dramatic narrator.
Right.
Certainly in The Breakers.
Sure.
I'm impressed with that. That's pretty cool. What I wanted to know, though, is so you get a couple of these things out, and then for some reason you just bang, you immediately get some traction. Then what happens?
Well, it really wasn't. Like I said, I had kind of a listener base already that I parlayed from another podcast that I've been working on.
Right.
So that kind of picked up the pace. And in the pop culture world, you have things like Comic Cons. Right.
Oh, yeah.
So I started working with different people and I used this to work my way into a couple of other avenues. But one of them was to get myself into the Kevin Smith universe. So I was able to start going to Comic Cons and talking at different types of, I've spoken at paranormal conventions for podcast shows, which is really interesting. I was at Alien Con in Los Angeles last year where there were some panels. I've done Comic Cons here and in Kansas City, but I've done podcasting stuff in New York and in LA.
Was spurred though.
It all gets spurred from Breakers, you know, because Breakers managed to get big enough in the podcasting world. We, for a long time. We're charted on the top list with iTunes.
Yeah.
I think that we're bouncing in and out in the audio drama at about number 200. When I look at the charts, that's where so I'll pop in and pop out, cause 200 is where they cut off. So yeah. I keep bouncing, and it's slowly tapering off because we haven't released anything new, in quite some time. But, I used that to basically meet people that I liked in the podcasting world. And then I would appear on their shows either as a guest personality, talking about legal things because the guys knew that I did that, or I would go on a paranormal podcast and be the quintessential skeptic, or I've been on podcasts as an expert on Kurt Cobain. I mean, I can be an expert on anything, you know, long enough to go talk for 40 minutes. But,
this is what I want to know though. Okay, so this Breakers thing, it really started to develop. There had to be a point at which you're getting together with your partner on this thing and you're having to have talks like this is getting serious. Like, when were you getting solicited for advertising? I don't care about who your advertisers were. What I'm asking is, when did you have to have one of those talks like this is turning into a business?
Well, so it very, very early on, and probably, I mean, just like any band, I mean, you got to be on the same page with the direction you're going, whether this is a hobby that's going to be something fun, or this is how we're going to make our living, or we want to be famous. You know, I mean, there's those levels, and this is no different. And, you know, I went from not doing anything to I'm going to be on a show to I'm going to have my show. Once we started with the show and we're 4 or 5 episodes in and I figure out I can make this work, then I was like, okay, now we start writing it into the novel, because then I want to publish the novel. And once that's going, it's like, you know, we've got a screenplay here. This should be a TV show. And I'm looking at that. And my partner, who got to be one of my best friends in the world, was like, this is my hobby. This is fun. F*** all this. He didn't want to do appearances.
Yeah.
You know, there got to be a point where we've got people buying our t-shirts and we're mailing out autographed scripts, and there's, you know, there's merch that's going out, and the fan mail and shit like that. And I liked that ride, and I was always planning for the next thing, and he was always on the, I like where we are right now. Why would we do that? So we had that tug of war, not to mention the fact that we had the first 4 episodes that he had already written, but there was no direction for the story.
Yeah.
So once we got through that, we were releasing an episode every week for a long, long time. And it ends up being like doing a weekly television show where you've got your writer's room, which is just he and I. So we're storyboarding, and then he's scripting, and then I'm actually, then I would edit down the script, and then I would do all the voice work, and then we would do the production work, and then you have to publish it, and then you have to promote it, because that's why you're going places to meet people. And, you know, I want to go on.
Now, all the while you're practicing law.
Yes. And doing the thunder. And so, yeah, it was all at the same time.
And you never snorted cocaine. I'm amazed by this.
Not cocaine and cocaine accessories.
Yes. Yes, this is amazing. So that's got to be a tough dynamic, especially when I started hearing about this. I'm thinking back to that first night that we met. This guy is an attorney just because he loves.
So I can pay for my hobbies and habits.
Doing this music thing, you know? And I remember thinking, this has got to be a little bit of a kind of a dreamy thing, right? Certainly a bucket list for a guy whose interests are band thing, the band life. Certainly that aspect where, to use your word, you're on that ride. I know what that's like.
You know this. I know you do. And it really is. And there's an addictive property to it.
Yes.
That
I'll tell you what it is.
Once you do it, you got to keep.
It's called capital dopamine, right? That's, I mean, that's what it is. All of it is like, it fuels the feel good. Okay. It really, truly does, dude. And you bit off a big piece of that, man. Good for you for that.
It was a really, really interesting experience. And, you know, when you fly somewhere to go there, and there's a group of people there to see you and the thing it is that you've created.
That's right.
And put out there. I mean,
that is a damn addictive drug right there. That I know how it feels, man.
And it's also hard to keep meeting that, you know?
So what platform were you guys doing the best on, would you say?
You mean as far as what people
just,
are listening
I mean,
on?
Where did you focus most of your, you know, your marketing? And I mean, where were most people listening to this podcast that you were doing?
Most people listen to us on iTunes or Spotify nowadays. The people who don't have an iPhone, so they can't have the iTunes store stuff. There's about four of them across there that they listen to, but once you publish to about four different places,
you're out there.
So when I go over to the website, the Breakers mm-hmm. podcast, and I'm looking at what I essentially see is pretty much a wrap on the story, and there's the epilogue and everything, and I'm seeing credits doled out several people, a number of associate producers and everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, it looks like it really turned into a big thing for you guys. So with the epilogue, it sounds like it's essentially a wrap. How long did you have like an actual team of, you know, producers?
So here's what a team of producers meant for me. The way that you monetize a podcast is either by having enough listeners on a regular basis that people are going to pay you per listen to run your ad in the middle of it, mm-hmm. or you sell merchandise, t-shirts, coffee mugs, posters, and shit like that. Or there are crowdsourcing type things. The biggest one that podcasters use is called Patreon. You're familiar with Patreon?
Yeah.
Okay. So what we would do with Patreon is somebody says, I like the art that you're creating and I want to support it, so I'm going to give you $1 a month or $2 a month or $5 a month.
Oh, yeah.
And depending on how much money they're going to contribute, then you give them perks. We might give you an early listen, which is always my favorite because it doesn't cost me a damn thing for you to give me $1 to hear my shit the day before everybody else gets to hear it.
Yeah.
So then you have a number of people that are doing that. If you're going to give us $5 a month, we might give you a t-shirt, you know, or a poster, or we had guitar picks. I mean, we had all kinds of little things that people would get. If you were going to give us more substantial amounts of money, then you were just like on a television show or a movie, the money guy. So you were a producer. So we would reward people with a producer credit on our show if they were a financial backer at a certain level. So that's where those types of people that you see supporting. One of the things that we would do, I had to every week come up with somebody new to kill the next week, you know, like on The Walking Dead, we have people who come in and people who go out, depending on how their day was going.
That sounds like so much work. You have to invent a storyline and a background for every one of these characters.
So if this guy wants to give me $10 for the show that he loves, then I will write him into the story and then I will kill his ass. It helps us come up with the story. So we did a lot of that. And that was how we would monetize it and how we would bring people in. And then once I've got somebody who is the big fan, who is our producer of the show, now they're working their ass off to share it with all of their people as well. And, you know, and that becomes, you know, your biggest
Tell
source.
Me about the artwork. I'm looking at it going, gosh, it looks so familiar to me. Is that you, your daughter, and your dog?
That is not me and my daughter and my dog, but I do have the dog from the show, and I actually would record my dog as the sound effects for the show.
That's pretty cool.
But the artwork, there was a guy who was a friend of my partner who was a comic book illustrator. And we said, here's our characters in our story. We want you to make this apocalyptic picture with the guy, the girl, and the dog looking off in the distance at the crumbling world. And that is what he came up with for us. And we used that.
The main character of the story is a guy named Shepherd Gray. Hmm? He's from, is he West Virginia or Virginia or something? Hmm? He's got this dog, interesting name, Rommel.
Right. That Rommel came to me with the original first chapter of the story. And it's, you know, it was an ironic thing. Oh my gosh, I have a Nazi dog, you know?
Yeah.
But.
Well, it is a German shepherd.
It was a very German shepherd. So they named him Rommel.
And as Nazis go, Rommel was a dude following orders.
You cannot imagine how many emails and text messages and whatever you do, you just can't kill the dog.
Yeah.
You can't kill the dog.
Yeah.
You can't kill the dog. So, that dog ended up being a big part of my life for a long time.
Wow. So So Epilogue, that was just released a couple of months back. So the inference is that story's done.
Right.
Is that true?
It is. It is. That was kind of the wrap it up. There was no, we kind of left it a little bit open-ended when we finished the last finale that we had done, because we took a really long hiatus. Really want to know, we had a bit of artistic differences and couldn't decide where we wanted to go for a while. And then we kind of got together and worked through the last, I can't remember how many did, it was there 8 or 10 of them that we released really, really quickly all together at the end. Mm-hmm. To wrap up the story, but it had kind of an open ending in. And then right about, it may have been, it was early on this year, maybe right about the time that the coronavirus really started coming in, I guess.
Yeah.
My partner had kind of written a little bit of an epilogue just for us. That was like I wanted to close out the story or whatever. So
since you've mentioned that though, I'm sorry to interrupt you there, but the irony of this. So for those who don't know, the storyline revolves around a guy and his dog who are simply trying to survive this viral outbreak that has basically caused the, as you put it, crumble of civilization. And I'm like, holy shit in a bag, man. This is so ironic. And so you Forrest Gumped this shit too, man.
It was bizarre. Once that first started happening, and we had been, you know, out of the business for quite some time.
Did it create a dynamic between you guys? You're like, people are really dying now. Do we keep
weird.
Doing this? Or?
Well, we had already stopped. We'd been done, you know, for quite some time. You know, it had been, hell, it might have even been a year at this point, or, you know, 6-8 months at least. It'd been a long time.
Last September.
Is that when I finished it?
That was it.
Yeah.
That was it.
So it had been quite some time.
Yeah.
And he sent me this. It was just like, man, I wrote this out a little bit, and we were like, you know, the world sucks. People, we should put out this one more, just one more short little finish it off, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't know.
What's next? Are you going to continue to work with this fellow? Sounds like he may not be able to contribute too much more. He's just not interested. Or no.
He's got some other projects that he's been doing, and I have a regular day job right now, which isn't conducive to, you know, spending an extra 20 hours a week doing that. And I've moved on to my next hobby. I'm doing other things right now. Mm-hmm. I've got a couple of stories that I've written that I have started to work into a full-length show. But it takes a lot of time, and it's, once you get to a certain level, it's hard to start out from scratch again.
Yeah.
Knowing that,
yes,
what are the chances that I'm going to do that again and get to where I was? You know, I still have that feed that has lots and lots of people subscribed to it that I could maybe work my way into it again. But so I've done some voice acting on some other shows.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, somebody will hit me up. I know a lot of people in that business now, and they'll say, hey, we need a voice. Can you do a voice for us today? And they'll send me a script, and I will record it for them and send it to them, and then they'll cut it into their show. There is a really big show that's out in the audio drama world right now called The White Vault. And I really liked The White Vault. I had been to Orlando. We went to Orlando to a big podcast convention last year, and I met the guys who make The White Vault. It's another one of those things, you know, where you're going to a show and you're meeting with a rock star that you really, really like. And he's like, hey, you're the guy from that other band that I like. And I'm like, whoa, wait, cool. So yeah. I meet this guy who's made this show that I like, and I'm introducing myself to him. And he's like, yeah, you're Shepherd Gray. And I'm like, oh, cool. You listen to my shit too.
Yeah.
So I met him and we hit it off and talked a little bit. So I sent him a message after this convention, said, hey man, write me a part into your story. So, and he is the you of podcasting. He and his wife work on about 5 shows, and they're super produced and super planned.
Yeah.
And they're months and months ahead. So he sent me back a reply that's like, hey, we don't have anything in this show right now. We're way ahead on it, but I've got this other show that I'm doing, and we'll put you in a part in that one. So, there's a show called Vast Horizon that is kind of a science fiction kind of thing that he'd done. So I did a part for him on Vast Horizon a couple of months ago. I still do those kinds of things every once in a while. I will help out with some Thunder stuff here and there, but you know, as we know, that's not going anywhere these days.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Unless you're going to go to the bubble.
Right. Well, and we're not even in the bubble anymore. So, that's right. You know, that's not really a thing, but mostly I'm doing the lawyer work right now. So
yeah. Sounds to me like you're basically in the same place you were, I don't know, 15 years ago.
I'm trying to figure out the space
with the day gig so that you can do the podcasting thing, which you're really digging.
What in the hell I'm going to be when I grow up.
Yeah.
Aren't we all?
And all you and us both, man. Listen, I cannot thank you enough for your time. Be sure to let us know about the next thing that you're involved in. That you're going to release so we can push it to all 7 or 8 of our listeners here.
And we'd also like to voice some stuff too, man. We'd like to be voice actors for hire.
I would die. I die in Matt Randolph's book. As a matter of fact, I actually was a serial rapist and killer.
I die a little bit every single morning we do our show, Chad.
It's good to have goals.
Yeah. Well, that's what everybody's got to have them, right? So anyway, Brian, thank you so much for your time. Appreciate you, man.
Thank you guys for having me on. I've enjoyed it.
All right. Take care now. Bye-bye then.
The Jack Wagon Podcast is a Courtesy Clap production.